you know, one of the things that we're grateful for at the fest are the fact that people that help out the U.S. balance of payments. And, you know, it's we buy all this crap from China, you know, and
Vietnam.
You know, Vietnam, you know, and all the places that, you know, Steve can talk about that essentially are making the stuff that we buy. And so we're always really grateful, and we get special commendations or condemnations, I forget which, from the country's leadership, the fact that we have people that bring in foreign currency, practically worthless foreign currency right now. And then, I'm sorry, do you have a cold there, Andy? What you got there, Andy?
Oh, I've got a pocket.
but it costs you $300 for $100 US. That's the problem.
Nah.
But anyway, we are thrilled to once again have the EuroPirate scene represented here at the fest. Andy Walker has been here before a couple times, I think, haven't you?
Six times,
yes. Okay. And he keeps coming back, so you've got to question his judgment in doing that, because he pays a lot more to come here than you folks that are from Lansdale, let's say. So anyway, and he was foolish enough to bring a friend, you know, and he's still smiling. So anyway, we're so thrilled that Andy and Chris are going to be here to talk about the EuroPirate scene. So sit down, shut up, pay attention, stay awake, and here are Chris and Andy. Ho!
Thank you, boss! Can you hear? Can you hear us out the back all right?
What?
Yeah, can you
hear? Can you hear us?
What?
If you're of an age, turn your deaf aids up.
Is this the right working? Also in the last seats over there. Yeah, you can understand everything.
Yeah.
All right, I have to confess, English is not my mother tongue, but we get through that, I hope so. So,
And it's Chris's, first visit.
Yeah? Should I? Oh yeah, that's better, isn't it? Yeah, right. All right. Okay, thank you very much for the warm welcome, and welcome along to the youngest section of this Winterfest. And yeah, it's great honor to be here and to talk about the stories of Continental or even...
Could we just ask, switch your cell phones off, anything rings, naughty step outside.
Yeah.
And nothing up on YouTube or FaceAche or anything like that.
For some reasons, a few people I'm showing on pictures, they're still active, and they're probably not very happy to see themselves in YouTube later on. And so I please you not to upload it somewhere on public, whatever server sends around. So Pirate Radio and Continental Europe, personal view means a personal view. I started actually listening to the radio not before 86, 87, and I was getting quite quick to the pirate radio scene in Europe, which was mainly on 48, or is still on 48 meters, which means between frequency 6.2 to 6.4 is extended now a bit, but this is the main band, normally Sunday morning from 10 to 12, so this is the main time. And yeah, I had nothing else to do, so I started a pirate radio station. I said, obviously I got sacked at the local radio station. I was in charge of the archive at that time, so I started my own station. So that's the background with that. And yeah, if you're going back to the time when pirate radio, I think in Germany started not earlier than the 1970s. This has something to do with the Cold War situation, obviously, in Germany, highly controlled frequency bands, and obviously the influence coming from America, with the commercial broadcasters in America, which always were state-of-the-art to do radio for the Europeans. Unbelievable, you don't think it, but it is the way it is. And next influence, obviously, from the offshore stations running the North Sea, from Holland, England, and
yeah,
that's it, more or less. So that were the big influences, and additional, a very boring program on the public channels. I had a monopoly at that time, and we're running still the old good stuff from the darker times of Germany. And so, so this was a mixture. People started pirate radio, so I'm in the third generation radio in Europe. So there were two generations before me, and I went in 1992 in that area. So We have a look on the beginnings. It's a nice picture. I found a friend of mine who had still a calendar from 1981. One of the Anoraki whatever listeners did that, and you see all the stations on at that time. It's mainly, you know, this guy here, Radio Free London, sitting over there. And Radio Benelux, who was one of those stations, brought me into Short Wave Piracy, so a few Dutch stations. So there were a lot of quiet activity also in the 80s. And it's just an impression of what was going on at different scenes from mainly UK, Holland, and Germany, a bit Italian stuff as well. So the beginnings, 1992, 1993, is there any questions in the meantime? Just ask, because it should be, it shouldn't be a monologue, but a dialogue with you, and I really get in touch with you, so please feel free to interrupt me anytime, and if you have questions...
Don't worry, we will.
All right. And you see a bit of an overview, the station's influenced me a bit at that time, and NIRS was the Northern Ireland Relay Service, a station offering free airtime to pirates at that time, and was running quite good on 41 meters at that time. Obviously, my first pirate I was listening to, and I even didn't know it was a pirate, was Radio Fax, when I had the first exchange to the UK in the early 90s. And yeah, they had a quite impressive QSL count. I think a lot of people of you had listened to the station here as well, if you are in the pirates.
Anyone got a fax QSL card? John?
Oh, two. All right.
Oh, we had two listeners. Two. Wonderful.
Okay. this was obviously running from Ireland, and it, I think it's not a secret that it's still running as Reflections Europe from Ireland.
Yeah, 6295.
Your friend Brother Stairs, I think, still doing it over there sometimes. And. So another relay station offered was from France, Radio Waves International. He's quite probably one of the longest running active stations from France. And he picked up different stations at that time. And you remember that times we only had cassette recorders, so we had to record 120 hours cassette, had to put it in an envelope, had to send it for 5 marks post-stampage into foreign country, and there was a lot of work to keep it running. Another station I chose was from Italy, Radio Europe 7295, and this guy from Radio Benelux became one of my closest friends and brought me into pirate radio the proper way, because he organized my first transmitter. And that was a bit close, because I started with 17 years, and the thing was, my parents didn't like it that much in the beginning, and I had to wait till I became 18 to get the first transmitter. All right, that was the wrong way around. So here's an example from that times. You can listen to Radio Europe now actually on 6875 if you're using one of those SDR wonderful receivers. They are still on, and there's a quite good active scene in Italy. Alright.
We have technical problems. I don't know. Didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything.
Oh, you're back. Oh. All right. So this was the beginnings, and I visited this guy in Milan in 1992, and yeah, it was quite impressive at that time. Now, the first non-transmitter story began when I was becoming 18, because my parents, as I said before, didn't allow it before. And this is probably one of the biggest influences in pirate radio in Germany. PFBS obviously is an abbreviation cut off from the British Forces Broadcasting Service and the Pirate Fleet Broadcasting Service. And it was running for years, very well, over 20 years. And this was one of the famous QSL cards at that time from his side, with the German tracking vehicle, as well as the Volkswagens, which are not allowed in this country anymore. Yeah. And yeah, he was doing quite well, and he was a guy who was traveling before me. So it's the generation before me, it's the second generation of pirate radio. He was running, and he was traveling a lot as well, and he was going to UK. And he found a very famous setup. If you go back in the German pirate scene, you always find the transmitter setup, which is looking like this. It's original UK design, and if you look on that, you see the famous AO7 everyone was using at that time, and the oscillator was the EL84. It's a crystal here, and yeah. A normal tune-up thing here. So this was 25 watts running on the valve base. We carried this stuff normally in Central Europe. We always had the pirates going into mobile, into the woods, and we had to carry all the batteries in and all that stuff. So that was quite heavy sometimes. But yeah, so this was a typical setup you find everywhere. In the German pirate scene. So here's another one of those.
And you were operating in between 62.
Yeah, always. Yeah, so mostly 48 meters, which means 62 to 63 in this area.
Okay.
And here's another setup. Again with the AO7 EL84. This one got confiscated in 1992 by the authorities. That's my setup. I was running for years. You see the Walkman going into that. So it's mostly pre-recorded shows. We went into the woods with that. The problem is with this old stuff and this cheap cassette player, they were mostly a bit slower than the original recording.
So there are the wires was going down that way.
So this is a normal, ordinary setup of pirate radio in Germany in the mid-90s. Yeah. Any questions?
How long did it take you to set up the antennas? And I mean, you guys obviously made these things remote. Did you put them in aluminum buildings, or what did you do with them?
No. Yeah, that's a good question, to be honest, because the normal way, it's a sporty way to do it. We always use catapults or ropes or something like that to throw it between two...
Slingshots.
Okay. Slingshots sometimes, or just a piece of wood or whatever to get it up. So normally the antenna was not higher than, in my area, was not higher than 8 or 10 meters, whatever it is. Yeah. But yeah, it was running, and that was the way we do it. Yeah, the Netherlands started with a QSL. You see the bigger ones now coming up, because in the mid-90s, the former generation always had good contacts to Holland, but the next generation I was belonging to, we had no contacts to Holland. So we started with QSLing with the Dutch powerhouses and visited them in the mid-90s. And there was one guy offering me Radio Talking File, a new transmitter. So this is everything handmade, hand-built. Gives out 100 watts and has, you can't see the valve here, it's a 509 valve, which is probably known by CPE here in this country as well. He found out that normally the voltage current of the valve is 500 watts, but he raised it up to 1000 watts, so it gave 100 watts output and a lot of interferences to the neighborhood. And yeah, so this is a transmitter which is still running, and it's a typical Dutch setup, low powered, but also not mobile anymore because too heavy, and on 220 volts, so on the main.
Wow.
On the mains, yeah. The Holland years, 1994, 1997, is just an impression how Holland was working. You don't see it, actually, because this was covered on top of a cow stable. So the Holsten years up there, you had to climb up there to find this room, and all the transmitters run in there. So this is 1995, obviously, Easter Sunday, yeah. So we have been there, so this is a first impression of a hidden power radio station in Holland. This is probably one of the famous stations down here, Spaceman and Baroness. I don't know if you heard about them. They had probably an action with him. Spaceman is quite good heard here. No? No?
Yeah,
one?
I've heard.
Yeah, okay, if you want. Yeah, so you see the Dutchies are really fortunate with their space and their locations. They always have those. It's very impressive to go there for pirate radio. Because
Chris, tell the story of the field and the radios.
Yeah, and for example, Spaceman has all this property, and before moving there, he made all the radios down here. So the whole thing was covered with copper net.
The guy dug the field up, laid all the radios down, and then put the earth back over the top.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you imagine now, and you see the wells, they're running over 1,500 watts, even more with that, and with antennas like that, and you don't see the half-wave dipole coming up here. They're normally using long-wire antennas. It's pretty much impressive. You're going for Holland for radio piracy, and if you've, at least you did it several times, and it's really worth it going there. I'm coming back to some meetings they're doing still there later on. All right, yeah. You see another typical setup here, Radio Boomerang it's called, and he's a quite skilled technical guy. He has nothing to do that. I think he's working as a street digger or whatever.
But he's a very good engineer.
They build up that settings. You see the valve inside here. It's already cooled, and this gives out probably about 2,000 watts AM. We're talking about AM. All the stations running on AM in Europe. Yeah. I made it also a bit to similar meetings like this one here in 1995. It's an EDXC setup. They were running a legal station at that time in Denmark. It's just an impression of an old coast radio running with that. And this was in 1995. Something to look for the other females inside here. Anyway, this was a QSL car from 1995 when I was in Sweden, and I took my transmitter with me, and I put the special QSL car, the hottest in summer, whatever, 1995. And the interesting thing is the white stripe are down here, because this was the way we did the QSL cars at that time. We put it on a PC and take a picture of it. That was the only way to do it, because the printers weren't that good. And traveling around, I was on my own at that time, and I had the time to do so, you know. That's why the German education system is that low, because you have the time to travel around all day. And you see here, it's probably one of those stations, you know, Weekend Music Radio from Scotland. You had him all right, yeah. He was regular in the 90s, also famous for his New Year's broadcast. And if you see a studio like that, you're wondering how he can get a signal out. And this is the guy behind here, typical Scotsman.
Is Jack Russell.
Yeah, that's Jack Russell. And you see the battery here. And you can't see that. It's a beehive somewhere in the woods. And there was a transmitter in it that time.
A small 20 watt transmitter.
That's sweet.
20 watts with a car battery.
Yeah.
Isn't it a beehive?
Oh, but that's the wrong one.
Were there bees in it too?
No bees. Be less.
That's actually the transmitter who was in the beehive. Uh-huh. Look at this. It's proper solid, high quality made, and in perfect shape as always. See the coil, whatever it is. And So this is one of those center parts everyone used in the UK and Germany at that time. I think it's from radios or taxi stages.
Televisions.
Or televisions even. So yeah, so this is it's unbelievable that it was running, but it was running. Yeah. Quality doesn't matter. Yeah. So it's Wicked Music Radio again. This is two guys putting the transmitters on. You see the countryside, you're sitting me in the studio there, Wicked Music Radio with full hair at that time. And that's the whole thing on the radio. Only the voice is changing slightly, but they don't see you anymore. Yeah, so this was actually the Scotland set up in 1996. Any questions to that? Not at the moment, all right. Yeah, you see another wonderful Jack Russell technology, proper mate, and look at this. We had a show and we had to extend the coil to go on 76 meters, and we just put a piece of wood in it and just lengthens the coil a bit, besides whatever it is here. Yeah, so.
That's what I call jury.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Obviously, this guy caused a lot of interferences in the whole town and neighborhoods. But the good thing is, in this village, if you're living up there, you are all friends more or less. They're coming all along, bringing whiskey and drinks with them. So they're having a good party when doing part radio at that time. Yeah, here we go. Probably, who knows this guy?
Man.
Yeah. So this was a visit to London and this was a visit to London and it's a Radio Free London set up. And we have obviously a short jingle or a short piece here for you.
On 1476 AM to London and around the world on shortwave. Radio Free London.
I've done it again.
You shouldn't touch anything.
Uh-huh.
Oops. Oh, it's coming back.
I might come back.
Yeah.
I did try to screw these in, but screwing things in at my age is getting a bit hard.
As this is a typical CWR setup, you shouldn't touch anything if it runs once. Yeah. And all right, so this was, we had a few drinks and I was regularly in London at that time.
Got back around. Never mind. Got back again.
Obviously me, Jody, Kenny Myers, Terry Phillips, and Tony Randall at the back there doing the Nazi salute is playing double decks because he was in the room. We never mention the war when he's in the country.
Yeah. Also, I'm always saying at that situation, we become second.
We had a question.
Yes.
Question. A few years ago, I was in Berlin and at a hackers conference, and a few of us climbed this mountain, Teufelsberg, to an abandoned NSA GCHQ monitoring post. You know, the big thing on the top.
Yeah.
So I climbed this one tower to the top where there's a radome on the top, and inside the radome, I found the remnants of a pirate radio station. There was a Rodian Schwartz stereo generator.
In Berlin.
And there was a microwave, and there was a microwave computer transmitter link, but everything else was gone. And there was like record album covers all over the place. Do you know anything about that station?
It's amazing. You won't believe it, I lived for 8 years in Berlin.
Yes?
And I missed all the pirates. There were a few FM pirates from Prenzlauer Berg, which from the east maybe. And they were running, they got raided, but I had never touched anything with FM piracy. It's really very unusual in Germany because the band is absolutely packed. You don't hear any noise, nothing, you don't have the space.
Right.
The public and the private channel blocking everything three times.
But this was, it's line of sight to everything
up
there. It's the highest point, you know, in the center of Berlin, you can see this thing. It's,
so you have
I just wondered, you never do anything about that station.
No.
Okay. I know it was FM, but I just wondered.
So
if
you had been at the Chaos Computer Club, obviously.
Well, no, this was, this was the Dutch group. I went to Berlin after the conference. It was,
all right.
Anyway, was it too much?
Good.
Yes.
Oh,
it's my studio.
Yeah, that's his studio, the original setup from Radio for London, and still using those. Is it?
That's the IM compressor up there. That's the IM compressor.
Yeah, that's the IM compressor.
So it was all compressed on tape.
We don't see the cartridges here, don't we? Do we?
The cart machine's there. It's the cart machine here.
Alright.
ITC's.
That other deck over here.
Yeah. So, still with Weinberg, old fashioned guy. Yeah. I was fortunate to go in one of the transmitting sites, southeast of London, and the transmitter was running there. I was hidden in the box, you might tell something.
It was in a private bit of wood, and we dug the sidewalk up to put the mains in, covered it back over again, ran, I don't know, a couple of 100 feet of mains cable, and that was where the transmitter was in a plastic box. We later found an old water tank on the side of the road and put a lid on it and carried that in, and the rig was all locked up in the woods every weekend. AM, 819 AM.
And obviously, thanks to the courtesy of the City of London, you got the electricity.
Yeah, for free.
Yes. And.
Oh!
It all ends up one day. I think you have seen that before if you attended and brought me the last years. And. So you might tell them a bit about that.
Right, you can see the headline. The first I knew about this, my ex-wife worked for the Metropolitan Police. Yeah, as a CAD operator, computer aided dispatch, which meant she saw all the incidents come up on the screen and used to talk to the officers out in the streets. So she's working nights, Sunday night. We're on the M25 motorway, two transmitters, 6400 and 3945. Stealing electricity. We'll show you a bit. Some of you have seen this clip before. So I'm in bed, right, and it's about 7:30, pulled late in the morning, and I hear the front door go, and she comes upstairs. I'm still in bed. She walks in the bedroom and she says to me, "Please tell me you didn't have a transmitter at Junction 4 on the M25 last night." And I said to her, "I can't lie to you, darling. Yeah, we had two." And she said, her words were, "You don't know what shit you have caused." Because now we've got here, it says, "Park radio station, set up operation beside the M25 and tapped into a power supply using a keep left sign." It was actually a no entry sign. "The station Radio Free London had hidden its aerial and transmitter in the woods on the M25, but was discovered when a passing motorist reported seeing the aerial." Rubbish. It was night time. We found out afterwards it was a motorway service maintenance guy that found it. The footnote to the story is, another guy I knew who was an old-time pirate long before me, he did the same job as my wife, and he was more senior, and he was based in the area we had our transmitter. And he said there was 200 pages of CAD on this thing. We shut the M25 down for 4 hours. They sent the army bomb squad in because it was 2 weeks before the general election when Tony Blair was elected. And when they found out it was a pirate radio station, they tried to they contacted the DTI to come in to remove it, but the DTI couldn't get there for 4 hours because we'd closed the bloody motorway down. Here's the bit of video. You won't tell anyone it was me, will you? So if I pause it, some of you have seen this clip before.
There it is, there's the main over there. There it is, with a white sign at the back of it, and right on the side of the back. It's an area as well. That's where it is. That's where it
is. Oh, go back. No, you're going forward, Chris. Back. I was trying to pause it. Okay, yeah. Let's find it again.
Leave it running. Just click on it.
Oh, right, here we go. Hold on. Sorry about this.
Here it is, there's the main target area. Here it is, with a white sign on the back of it. All right, there's the sign on the back of it. So there it is. That's where it is. That's where it
is. That's it.
Yeah.
That's so it.
The good thing is in this country, the UK, they all have lights for everything, also for like no entry signs, so it's connected probably to here, yeah.
Yeah, underneath. We used to dig a bit of the earth out, drill a hole, and then tap the cable in, obviously pull the fuse out, tap the cable in, run a few foot of wire just over the fence with a socket in a plastic box, leave it for a couple of weeks. If it wasn't discovered, up went the aerial, in went the transmitter, and we were on the air. So yeah, go for it.
That's the experience. Different points. It started in Germany. We joined together for a pirate radio network in the 90s. And what the idea was running in the early 90s. And that's my German name, by the one, which means crazy wave radio. It's level 48, obviously, because of the frequency band. And the idea was that always listeners expected us fighting each other and shouting at each other, and whatever you're doing as pirate radio, you can do whatever you like to do, but do it properly. Yeah. And so the idea was to join together and also to avoid any raids. The idea is every station doing 1 hour after the other on the same frequency with pre-scheduled whatever setup. So from different areas in Germany, obviously, so a lot of listeners had the opportunity to listen to one station, but on different times of the day, and it was running. Normally we started on Friday evenings on 76, then on 48 during daytime, then on 76 again, and it went up to Sunday afternoon. With different stations. So this started with German whatever corporation, and later on we extended the whole thing on Europe base, international base. You see, from England we had Radio Free London live via radio Z100, I can't remember. And Scotland Weekend Music Radio, that's the reason we put Scotland in, because they always like to be separated. Sweden, we have Radio Fusion International, and Netherlands Toonfolk Transatlantic Tonea, which will, the guys from Southern Netherlands, and a German station set up from Benelux, Speedwing, Southwest Radio, Pirate Broadcasting Service, and me. So this was running for weeks. Sometimes we went mobile sites to fishing, whatever huts somewhere outside in the woods. And that was a 300 watts transmitter at that time. This guy is not looking that way normally. We put that out for QSL calls. So, yeah, it was sometimes running, sometimes not. So it was always depending on the. Propagations, and obviously at that time in the 90s the mobile phones were very rare in Europe. We had to rent one of those big CNET radios to carry. It was probably that heavy, and normally we went along to the countryside and we had a look to telephone boxes which have a number to call to, and we gave that number out. So that was a way to get in contact with the listeners instantly at that time.
That's cool.
So we see a bit old footage now from 1996, from level 48. I found that on my hard disk. I didn't know that they're still existing. And we have a look on that. It's probably not the best quality, but you have an imagine how to put an aerial up in your.
Hey, Ise. Hi. Was ist welche Aufgabe mit Ihnen jetzt gerade wieder kurz zu tun?
Ich bin derjenige, der immer die Presse hat. Von dem da.
So you see the rooms up there, and always it's always a mess.
Was dann? Wenn Sie wissen wollen, wer das hier alles filmt?
Ja.
Dann
Oh. Yeah, you cannot see much, but you have an impression of what location we're using normally for doing pirate radio then. If we're going outside.
Wir sind jetzt Martin bei komplizierten Entwicklungstechniken.
There's always a mess with the cable and all problems. There's always the same. Never change. Yeah,
there is.
Yeah, can you play the third one first?
Third, yeah.
And if everything goes wrong, you have to get up the tree, obviously.
As if the wire gets all caught up.
So obviously you can't see it properly. I was going the whole way down the direct way. And yeah. So it takes hours sometimes to put the iron up, sometimes you manage it within seconds. So it's always the same. Yeah. And you see, we're always searching for open spaces to get the area and to run the stuff quite well out. So if it is working, we did a live show from this side on nighttime radio. You have a little impression of that. There was an old whatever rotten house standby nearby, and we went into there with all the equipment.
This is outside, under a tree.
And now we proceed to entering our Wild West
generator.
Yes.
In a generator.
And this is the most important thing when doing pirate radio, beer.
Continuing, what's right possessed? And of course, if all the CD players are working, and maybe it's only a techno CD player, I don't know.
Yeah, they put down CD players, everything, and you hire radio frequency.
Anyway, Radio Corporation. A corporation between 12 stations spread over over all of Europe. Yeah, several. And many threats, local projects.
So just an impression for a nighttime outdoor free radio experience at that time.
The job we never run.
Yeah. This is another experience. Yeah. That was running for several years, and we split up everyone, and a few guys died, and so that's the way it is. And it's another mess up with one of those hoods. We were outside. You see the EL84 AO7 transmitter again, and the battery set up, and yeah, so it's always a big mess. Going for outside means you have to carry a lot of stuff with you, and this is an impression from the mid 90s. You see the beer case, the snaps, and yeah, it's a compressor DVX and the transmitter. Yeah, you have seen that before, the mobile transmitter CD case and all the cables and all that stuff. So this was normally the way to go for a radio weekend in the mid 90s. And yeah. Here's another setup. So that is the setup we normally used with mixers, transmitters, all made in Holland, that one. That was the time. There was a PLL invented. We used that instead of crystals, and also had equipment. Yeah, so it's quite interesting with that.
Oh! What a couple of handsome young men.
Yeah. Yeah. Just an impression that people...
20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Only for 20 years, yeah.
During my studies, I went to Italy, and I met obviously a few guys there I know for years, and we had the idea to put Radio San Marino on. I think a lot of you must have heard it, or have a QSL. Who has a QSL from San Marino?
Three. That's it.
All right. Probably you had luck and we do a revival after 20 years this year. And
but this time actually go to San Marino.
The San Marino idea was behind that because San Marino was not activated for short time, and we know that every one of you is always excited if there is a new whatever area is activated. So we had the idea to put Radio San Marino out, and
We started with an idea in the mid-90s. So I carried my whole stuff down there to Italy to have a studio in my student apartment that time, which was in Siena. And yeah, it was looking like that. And I show you something now, and I like to ask you not to take pictures of that because the guy is still running something. And this was the original antenna setup.
Go on, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, go.
Go on. Just turn the volume down.
So you see, this is the original site where the San Marino was coming from, and that was the day we put the aerials up. It's, you see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was...
It's the wimpy boy.
Yeah, I'm the wimpy boy. I really had no power to put that on. It's a bit of a disgrace, isn't it? Yeah. So the idea was obviously behind that activated Radio San Marino, but also to give this little country in the middle of nowhere a little push. So this is the original San Marino antenna. And if you see that later on, it was actually not very high. Probably 6-7 meters high. But we put a lot of effort there to put the aerials up properly at that time. So you see the areas up there, it was 11 max, I think, running as well, and the lower, the higher frequencies. That is actually only 6-7 meters high, and that was the side Radio San Marino was coming from. Sorry for the quality. We have a look on the transmitters in a few seconds. I can confess it was not coming from San Marino, actually nearly by Tuscany. And the interesting thing is, nearby that site, there was the next door guy living there was a policeman. He always asked what we're doing, and we said something like recording the shortwave or whatever monitoring stuff. And my girlfriend at that time and me, we got invited, and we went over. After that was after San Marino, we did different other things from there then. And yeah, and I had always to get up every hour to change the tape. It was really interesting. So you see the setup and the mountains in the backside is really not quite high, but it went all the whole world from New Zealand to America, everywhere. And propagation were really good at that time. And we go inside there. And we used a lot of ham equipment. This transmitter was running on 11 max, and it was with a VFO, and it was getting too hot. It was just, probably recognize that, those of you, that the frequency was changing a bit at that time.
Chris, what was the output power?
The output power was around 100 watts. So this is the final setup then. Yeah, so this is an impression from the San Marino side. That's it actually. Two frequencies, two dipoles, simple. And it was working. Now we go to the next. Obviously we went up to San Marino to send all the letters back. It was an incredible response we got. I used my PO box in Germany for that. And it was a local PO box somewhere in the middle of nowhere of Mainz. And the interesting thing is I was getting back after the transmissions to Germany and to collect all the posts. And I was coming along there, and the guy, the officer sitting behind the office, was saying, "Sir, can you just come over, please? What the hell are you doing?" He stepped up. We had 750 letters for this one go, and there was even a few clever guys sending in what's called you have to handle it personally to the guy. What's it called?
International reply.
No. You have to handle it registration post or whatever, and then can I just have your name? Obviously, I put on a Samuel's name and got the stuff off. And then we went up to San Marino to repost the whole stuff to every one of you. And the problem was, we went into the local post office in San Marino and asked for 500 stamps for Europe and 250 stamps for international postage. The guy was looking. He never had made that much money on one day on stamps. And we had to sit down there and we had forgotten to buy self-sticking. All of you have my DNA on the stamps already. It was really, really a disgusting afternoon. And I still can have this special taste of San Marino post stamps on my So that was the, you can't see it that much. Welcome to the Land of Freedom. It's written here. Benvenuti alla terra della libertà. So the problem was with San Marino. Obviously, I can laugh about that now, but my parents couldn't because they got from a friend of mine this fax one day. After that, I was there. This was the official announcement on the main page of San Marino. The problem was we didn't expect that the main guy working for the post office is a ham guy. And he was very annoyed that someone else using San Marino frequencies on shortwave. So this was an official announcement that everyone giving information can write in directly to the post office. And they said, no, it is a pirate, never coming from San Marino, and everyone, it's a heavy, heavy violation of the national law, and we take actions international-wise, and we're searching for the guys, and so on, and if someone has information, please phone up San Marino, 22nd December 1997.
It's an Italian wanted poster.
Yeah. It's a bit wanted livid. Yeah, so, my parents were amused by getting that fax.
We can overrun a bit.
All right.
Great stuff.
Yeah, so we had to post, obviously, active free action of the San Marino government, the postal authority, RSMI, is forced to stop its broadcast until further notice. And this further notice is running to today. And this was a bit of explanation, and we just asked for more reception reports. So all in all, we got 750 for this event. And that was Radio San Marino. With that, I thought I had a few jingles with that. So this is the QSL you have, or you got, I guess so?
Yes.
I'm wondering where the audio files are.
Nothing to do with me, you put it together.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, gone. Alright, nevertheless, we put up later on shortwave radio wheel service, which probably was running for different stations at that time. Was another project just to give a bit of airspace to two different power radios. It was quite heavy used at that time, 1997-98, and also its own programs. You see another setup at that time. And obviously, this is two Kenwoods and a Yaesu A40, I guess it was. Yeah, I still have that one, but it's a bit rotten now. There was all the power supplies, and we had batteries in the backside because from time to time we had power cuts in that area. So that the frequency is still running after that when the electricity jumps in again. Yeah. Another project, I was a joint tip was the Easter weekend 1999, that's why the station is called Offshore 98. And the thing was that it was planned for Easter 98, and obviously we rented out a boat and we went out on North Sea. Probably the last offshore pirate radio station, proper pirate radio station, was running. And it was just a one off weekend, to be honest. And first test we did in Belgium in the mid 90s for that. And this is obviously also the setup the free radio service Holland used at that
from
time.
From Belgium?
From Belgium.
Not from Holland?
No, that's the reason why it's called free radio service Holland from Belgium. So you have a few here. That was the boat we rented out in Scheveningen, and we went off with that. And I told a few of you yesterday the interesting story. When we went with all the equipment on, the customs was coming on board, connecting all our passports. So we thought, this is the end, before we already had begun the story. But they only liked to get sure that everyone who's going out is coming in again. So that was everything. So this is an impression, me jumping on the boat at that time. And the interesting thing is, we passed Bram Island when going out, which was a platform used for which station? Can't remember. Anymore.
Radio North Sea, 1964, AM and a TV station off the Dutch coast. That's it. It was raided. It was only on the air for a few months. Got raided, but the Dutch government left it out there and used it as a some survey. I don't know. It was government owned. Don't know weather. Not sure. But it sat out there for a long time. But it was all dismantled. Taken to Amsterdam, and it's a restaurant now. I was there in November.
Yes,
I took
the pictures. Actually taken by Andy last November, and it's a restaurant now. So you can have a pirate restaurant right there in the harbour.
That was actually taken the day you had a vote of something over here, and your new president got in. That was the day that was taken.
November 8th.
Yeah, sorry.
Were you over at the either of the Radio Carolines on medium wave on 14?
No, I wasn't on there. 15? No, I didn't go on. I did the licensed offshore radio 1584 in 1992. But no, I never went out on Caroline. I did have the chance, but I had a mortgage and a good job, and I never did it.
I could hear them here.
Oh, you could hear them, good. Yeah. Caroline, yeah, nice.
The one on 1520.
Must have been hard hearing it. I mean, you know, it must have been exceptional.
Well,
DX conditions.
Monday morning, Buffalo was off the air, so.
Ah, right, okay. That's
quiet.
Yeah, so you have a good setup now. That was a transmitter again. That's my transmitter running on the boat. The problem was the radio frequencies, the RF, were really everywhere. We could use single cables, I told you yesterday, and the sparks were coming out everywhere. It was amazing, and that was running everywhere. And now I put this picture in, because it's an interesting story. Years later, I found that picture, and I said, I know this boat. And this was by women on waves, used for illegal abortions in the international sea, the front of Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's the same boat they used. And if you see this mess, you even need a medicine doctor to do a little abortion with that, sorry. It was really terrible, and that's the thing always is forgotten if you're talking about offshore radio, becoming a DJ on offshore radio. It's really boring. You're doing your show, that's it. You have nothing to do else. You cannot go away, because there's always the sea. And if the support is bringing you on the X, you have to eat X for 5-6 days or so. Yes. That's a setup from all the crew on the North Sea. Yeah, Easter 99. Yeah. It's Benelux guy and a few offshore supporters, local radio, and whatever. You can see the whole Offshore 98 videos on YouTube. It's professional made, and it's around 15 minutes. It's three different videos on there. So if you have the time, have a check and get a bit more impression of that project at that time.
Yeah, I was moving to Berlin then for 8 years, as another impression, and you see now also the transmitter technology changed at that time. The first commander rigs was coming up, Corsair, I really don't know the which was it was, but this was one of those first transistorized transmitters, home route we used, another UK design at that time, and with an IRF 510 running that, so giving around 12, 13 watts output. Studio in Berlin and mobile site in Berlin.
Was that a Dave Martin?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you have a closer view on that. It's probably for the technical skilled guys quite interesting. You see this taxi unit again on that, and this was a special setup for this transmitter with the, I think it's here, or is it there? I don't know. I think this is a fan. Can't remember anymore because I sold the rig already. That's another impression of the studio, normally used. Yeah, still with CD at that time, and with a bit audio processing. Yeah, that's it actually. The fax machine is very important. And as I know you are in Halloween very well, we did special Halloween shows from 2006, 7 upwards, using all this equipment. We called the station, obviously, IRF 510, and we did that from the Czech border.
Oh, a bit of all glory.
And yeah, we have a few jingles for that. It's only around 15 up to 20 watts, 15, 20 watts, low power. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of you have heard from Mystery Radio, I guess. Was a station regular with good signals out in America. 622L was the frequency. And obviously, this station was running from Italy, around 850 watts. And regularly on, and we did all these shows with linking up the audio over internet. It was streamed to a little village in Italy, and then it was beamed illegally up to the mountain where the guy is living because he had no internet connection up there. So it was quite
microwave. Was it microwave links or band 3 or 5? What did he use?
I think it was a gigahertz link.
Oh, it was proper gigahertz link.
Yeah, but at least 10 miles upwards, the mountain up, illegal uplinked, and so the signal was coming to the transmitter.
Oh, he uplinked it via satellite?
Yes, he uplinked it via satellite, yeah. So we have the famous Mystery Radio jingle.
Mystery mystery lady, as we always called
her,
is actually his wife.
Yeah, so we put it up that way. And it's a QSL card, which is made by an American guy, but I don't tell you who it is.
Ah.
Under here.
If one should know such things.
So this is Mr. Mystery on the transmitting side. So you see
that was
very, very, very impressive setup. And this is the Mystery antenna going out here. Yeah. So obviously there are different other things running there. And you have an impression here from the audio process stuff. It's not, I think it's an Auburn. We had up there the antenna set up, and this is the Mystery radio transmitter we were using at that time. It's a Roland Schwarz SK 80 or 90, I'm not sure anymore. Yeah, quite heavy stuff. The interesting thing with mystery radio, it was such good heard that we really got a problem, which is not known so far, but I tell you now, the story ends in 2010. We got a warning letter, so the guy got a warning letter from the Italian authorities that there were complaints from Germany, because I was on regularly, and they tracked him down from Berlin, Itzehoe, Konstanz, these are German cities, Krefeld is also German, Baldock in UK, and Klagenfurt in Austria, and they were very, very close to him, so he got a warning letter, and he replied to the official stations, and that's typical Italian style, by the way, blah, 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 very long, and so on, and so on, and in the end, you say, no, I wasn't it. I'm never going to reply anymore. yes, Italian guys, I was there several times, I met Kron Benson, who is probably the only offshore guy. He was on Voice of Peace and Radio Caroline in the late 80s. So just another visit and a proper studio down there. And the station radio playback was running on, 6870? Or is it 69? I don't know. 6870. So it's a Marconi instrument, obviously, solid state transmitter. And the interesting thing is, it was coming directly from the center of Milan. Have a look on that. That's Milan. And he put the aerial right up onto the rooftop of the city. And there was a signal coming out at that time. Yeah, quite impressive view. If you're up there, it was 50 degrees and was very hot. Yes.
Oh.
It's our Christmas show we did regularly over Mystery Radio. We booked up airtime at his time because to have a signal here in America, and there are still a few video footages on YouTube of that from guys recording, I think Kilo Cat, whatever it was. And you see actually such a studio lineup is the famous Cool Edit. Yeah, audio processing and the UltraCurve Behringer I'm using for that. And it's a microphone, and this is another autocam which ducks the music immediately if you're speaking into the microphone. So it runs really clearly automatically with that. So that's him in the studio, just impression of my studio at this moment. Yeah, going back to Holland. If you're going there, a few guys have been there already. It's a famous Border Hunter summer meeting. That's Border Hunter's lineup, typical Dutch, big mast, big property, and this Steve Underground, you already met probably during the last years. And this is, I can show the clear face because this is Alpha Lehmann. He died a year ago. Yeah, I've probably heard about that station. So. It's quite interesting to go there because you meet all the Dutchies guys, and it's unfortunately a bit in the middle of nowhere, so it's very heavy to go there for you. There's a ball around to set up. It's the two guys from England again, and another mobile transmission from that side. So this is
the potato field.
Yeah, this is typical Holland. There's nothing to do. All of the cowshed lines. This is a secret in the end of the day in Holland. Yeah. So you see the mobile set up running from Holland. And yeah. And today, that's the question. What are we doing with Power Radio in these days? We have really hundreds of stations running now on shortwave and AM in Europe. They're all playing non-stop music. For example, the Italian ones, they have really nice QSL cards, but there's a jingle in the beginning and a jingle in the end. And we have a lot of Balkan radio stations running on AM, on 1700 till 1800 in that area. The problem is that the attitude we brought into in our generation, so he's probably the second generation and I'm the third generation of Power Radio in Europe, we still had the attitude to put out proper programs. And the thing is that today it's more the signal counts than the content. So the signal is the message again. We're going a bit back into the beginnings of radio. And it's a bit of a pity, in my opinion, but well, the times are changing.
The times are changing, so...
times are changing, and these youngsters don't know what they're doing engineering-wise. I mean, you should hear some of the crap on the air in New York.
Because,
unbelievable.
Yeah, well, I don't think so, because the Italians are quite clever in designing and building up transmitters, but they are not willing to do any effort in the programs anymore. So it wasn't always sharing opportunities at that time. We were running a radio. There were a few guys who were better at doing programs, and there were the engineers, and we all worked together. And it's a bit like ego single stations now running everywhere. Everyone has a transmitter and it's putting out a signal. You're going to the chat board, it's easy, you get your report. You can even check your own signal on different SDR receivers. But what, yeah, so probably the times are changing. And it's a bit of a pity, but I think there's still hope if you see it here on FM, what is running a lot of stations with proper programming. So they're probably coming up another generation of power radio, and yeah, so actually that's it, and I hope you had a little impression of what was going on in Europe during the last 20 years in power radio.
Yes.
And if there are any questions, please feel free to ask me. Thank you very much in the meantime.
Questions quickly?
Like I said, I mean, do you guys have the same thing I experience here? You know, they're playing a record, all of a sudden the jock will just pot up in the middle of the record and yell over the record and then pot down and play.
Yeah, they're no modern pirates, though,
yeah.
They
do the same thing over there?
A lot of
They really have, most of the stations don't have a program, they're just playing non-stop music. So they don't care.
It really sucks.
So we have a question.
Tracy
and
Lewis.
Ask your question. You had a question in the back, the last seat? No, he doesn't know anymore.
Lewis?
Yeah.
Lewis.
I just wanted to thank you for a lot of us that are here, who are the older generation, who got the pirate radio when it was the pirate radio. Yeah. And we thank people like you who put the time out there.
And the skill into it.
Yeah.
Tracy?
A lot of you too, I'm sure, go on to the University of Trent's SDR radio and listen on the weekends to the Dutch pirates. Is there any special name that they give that sort of genre, a clique of people who do this weekend?
Yeah, it always depends. It's always surprising. The problem is for you that it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you have to listen to it. Yeah, that's very hard. But to be honest, it's changing from every week. And it's just surprisingly. There are a few Austrian guys also doing it now. And the problem is it's all non-stop radio. So you have to wait and till you get an ID. It's a bit annoying. Yeah.
Is any of this going on in Eastern Europe too? I mean, like across from the old Iron Curtain?
Really nothing in Russia. There are a few Russians doing it on Christmas time or so. Coming back.
Yes.
So that question, there was a station in Del Russia, which was on last year. Came on a couple of times. But
not right here without Borders.
Yeah.
That was one of the first shortwave Russian pirates. Come out of Moscow.
The Canary Islands.
Artem, wasn't it? Artem.
What was the origin of the Canary Islands?
What one, sorry?
Canary Islands.
Oh, that, possibly.
Yeah.
I haven't had, that's a rumour. I don't honestly know where that comes from.
Yeah,
off of FM. It was off of FM.
Yeah.
If it was coming out of Ireland, obviously they must have an internet stream and... Well, if it is coming out of Ireland, I probably know the guy that's doing it, but I can't confirm that. Is that it? Yeah, we're done. Thank you very much.